My brothers and sisters in the Lord, today we join millions of others across the country to call or write or hopefully even to visit in person with our dads and to wish them a happy Father's Day, to express gratitude and admiration for the having brought us into being, having nourished us, educated us, guided us, corrected us, and in so many different ways for having loved us. I also cannot help but think that we are also invited to pray for our fathers and for all fathers, that they may indeed be strengthened to live out this vocation of fatherhood. A vocation, my friends, that when fully realized, should ultimately make known to us, not in the abstract, but in the concrete and in the particular, the very divine paternity of God himself. For through Christ, we now know that God, the creator of all, the omnipotent Lord and master of the universe, the just judge who weighs the mountains in a scale and the hills in a balance, is also to be called Abba Father. And in light of this unique revelation, everything man has ever known or suspected about God, his eternity, his omnipotence, his infinity, all of his manifold qualities and attributes, assumes the face of a father. Yet, my brothers and sisters, God is not simply a father by metaphor, nor is it technically proper to speak of the first person of the Trinity as merely as acting like father. But rather, my friends, he is, in fact, fatherhood itself. For Jesus reveals that from all eternity, God, the one and the only Father, begets God, the one and the only Son, and empties, surrenders, sacrifices himself as Father utterly and completely. To exist for the sake of this one Son, who in turn receives all the Father is, and returns it in kind through a self-emptying. It is a perfect communion, and it is the perfection of love itself. And yet this divine Father, boundless in his compassion, nonetheless wishes to extend and to share his supreme paternity with the whole human race by means of adoption through his incarnated Son. In fact, it has been said that the whole of human salvation is governed by our Heavenly Father's intent to establish once and for all his universal fatherhood, in whom all human fathers would then be able to share, participate, and manifest on earth. Thus, my brothers and sisters, the celebration of Father's Day assumes its full meaning only in the light of the revelation of the Trinity. Human fatherhood, whether biological or through adoption, receives its truest nobility in its capacity to reflect and share in the paternity of the Heavenly Father. As a consequence, every human father is to be honored, even reverenced today and throughout the rest of the year, because of the greatness of his vocation and by the virtue of the divine paternity which he bears witness in himself. What an awesome gift, my friends, to know that when a young boy or girl prays the Lord's Prayer, or even addresses any prayer to God the Father, that they do so through the perspective or lens of their human fathers. But also, what an awesome responsibility, such that their whole sense of the God who nourishes, protects, advises, guides, chastises, provides, and yes, disciplines, is influenced by a mere man. What human father can possibly live up to such a responsibility? Which male of our species could possibly fulfill such a lofty calling, whereby we have the need this Father's Day not only to give thanks for the blessings of our own Father and how our Father has been a blessing to us, but also to seek through prayer the divine guidance, support, and encouragement of fathers everywhere. One often hears requests for prayers on behalf of vocations to the priesthood and the religious life. And in truth, my friends, they are sorely needed. But equally in crisis is the institution of fatherhood, and therefore equally in need of prayer, even as more and more men struggle to live up to its responsibilities and its commitments. My dear fathers, perhaps the greatest gift one can possibly give to one's children is the example of fidelity to the mom. To witness to the children in this way is the very selfless love of, concern for, and commitment to the other that is God's own fatherly love for them. And in like manner, demonstrating for kids a sincerely lived faith, for a son or daughter, particularly an adolescent, to see his or her dad on bended knee, or even in the line for the confessional, must be one of the most powerful statements of faith that one can possibly make. A recognition that to be a good dad, I too need help from above. And to teach our sons and daughters that despite the stereotypes our society has, one's value is not in how much we make, not in what we drive, in what we wear, nor where we live, but quite simply and completely in how much we love both God and each other. It is then that when a child is held in the arms of his dad, he feels more assuredly the comforts and the protection and consolation of the Father in heaven as well. When he hears the corrective word or action of his dad, he is hearing and receiving even more clearly the corrective discipline of God himself. And when he witnesses the agony, the concern, or the worry of his dad, he witnesses more convincingly the agony, concern, and worry of his heavenly Father for him or her as well. And finally, when he sees the joy and happiness in the face and the smile of his Father, not because of anything in particular that he or she has accomplished, but simply because he or she exists, the son or daughter sees that very joy and happiness in the face of his heavenly Father as well. I was speaking to a dad a while back about his son, a rising senior. I heard the dad bemoan the fact that the grades took a real dive last year, of his hope that the boy will bring them up again this year, about his pride that the boy is considering a military career, about his consternation that he could really help the boy in math, a class that he was failing, but that given the typical father-son dynamic, the boy simply would not cooperate, insisting on trying to do it himself, even if it would mean failure. I was struck, my friends, as I have been struck many times before as a priest, listening to such dads and how wonderful a perspective they share, how close these men must feel to God, to will only the good for their children, to love them so utterly and completely, and yet to be willing to respect the fact, especially with the arrival of adolescence, that indeed there is an independent will involved, and that has to be respected. An independence so beautifully ritualized in the father handing his daughter away or toasting his son on a wedding day. What a great challenge, my friends, but what a tremendous and awesome gift as well. And what a wonderful cause this day to honor and celebrate those men in our life who have striven to embrace it, even as they have embraced us, despite our independent and admittedly sometimes stubborn and ungrateful wills as well. It is said that one night a father overheard his son pray, "Dear God, make me the kind of man my dad is." Later that night, the father prayed, "Dear God, make me the kind of man my son wants me to be." My brothers and sisters, to God alone this day be the honor and the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. A happy and blessed Father's Day to all of our dads.